On this episode of VA Radio, we're touching base with our buddy Mike Clark. And Mike is the unofficial V8 TV superfan. He's a guy that we met on our V8 forum many years ago and has grown to be quite a good buddy in real life as well. He's working on a 67 GTO project. We figured we'd get the update from Mike, as well as touch base on a few of the upcoming events this year and some other nonsense from the V8 Speed and Resto Chef, V8 TV, and Muscle Car of the Week.
ARP, the ultimate fasteners, available for your entire car. Build complete race cars, customs, and bikes with ARP, 25% stronger than grade 8 hardware. Race car strength and show car looks at ARP-bolts.com.
Joining me now is our good buddy Mike Clark, who might be familiar on the V8 forum as Q-Ball. Our designated V8 superfan. Mike, what's the good word?
Good word is weather's getting nice. Trying to get my GTO on the road. Try to have a nice summer with it.
This is a gold black vinyl top 67 GTO, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Black interior.
Black interior, automatic, power steering, power brakes, air conditioning.
That's right. It's a factory air car.
Yes, sir.
And it was a 389 car originally or 400?
400.
67
had a
400. Oh, there you go. Right on. With a two-speed trans, or did it have a...
It was automatic in the factory. Automatic turbo 400.
Turbo 400.
Yeah. First year for the turbo 400 in an intermediate for Pontiac.
And what gear is in the back of that thing?
It's a pretty tall highway gear. All the AC cars had a really tall highway gear. It's got to be... I think it's like a... 293 to 1.
Yeah, right on.
Yeah, I mean, it'll go 150 miles an hour, but...
just not today.
Just not today.
And you've had this thing for quite a while.
Yeah, well, it's been in the family since 91. It was my dad bought it in 91, and he kind of re-restored it. It was a running, driving car when he got it, but the paint was all lacquered, and it was checked, so he had it repainted. He had a period correct engine built for it, redid the whole interior, just made it a decent driving car. And about 7 years ago, he decided he played with it enough and said, if you want it, you got to come down and get it. So that's exactly what I did.
Now,
I didn't waste much time.
Was he like a lifetime Pontiac guy, or how'd that work out?
Yeah, well, he had a brand new 1965 GTO. When he was still in the Army.
Oh, right on.
And when he sold that when my older brother was born in 67. And then a couple years later, he got a 66. And I remember that car when I was a real little kid. I was about 3 or 4 years old. And I actually remember riding in it.
That's cool.
At a pretty rapid speed.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
It's funny how those memories stick.
Yeah, no seatbelts, no nothing. Just let's go, kid.
Yeah, right.
So, but I'd seen pictures of that 65 in a photo album, and I was just totally mesmerized by it, and that started my love for GTOs in general. So
yeah, they're cool cars, and so since your ownership of this thing for the past 7 years, it's had a couple ups and downs.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, I mean, it ran and drove when I got it. It wasn't perfect. It backfired through the carburetor a bit. And I finally discovered that was just one of the cam bolts on the exhaust valve was wearing down. And it finally just had enough. And I was trying to replace the cam with the engine still in the car. And then I found out I had a burnt exhaust valve and had to pull the heads off and saw that, I had a really bad... old cast pistons in it and that were from the rebuild and just a lot of, low quality parts.
Mm.
And, fishing creep just sets in and you end up having to do the whole thing. So,
yeah, we call that might as well syndrome in our shop.
Exactly.
You don't set out to, but while you're there, you might as well.
Yeah, might as well. So the current state is the engine's out of the car. I just got the block over to my machinist. And he's looking at it, says it's a good-looking block. He's
good.
Trying to put some parts together for it and put some good stuff together and have a good running car afterward.
Right on. So he that's good to hear that the block is still workable even after a previous rebuild, I guess, huh?
Yeah. Well, it was only 30 over, so there's still more to go. So I don't have to have anything sleeved. And so it should be all right.
It's funny, those Pontiacs are getting hard to find.
Yeah, you know, time goes on. They, you know, they'll rot away in the field or just are squirreled away and people don't know that they're there.
Yeah. We had a sad story recently in the shop. Going back to last fall for our VATV 10th anniversary event, we rented out a local drive-in and showed Smokey and the Bandit on the big screen, which was cool, and it brought a lot of the Bandit-type Trans Ams out. People that didn't necessarily know us or didn't follow VATV, they just heard about Smokey and the Bandit on the big screen, so they brought the cars out. And two of those cars today are in our shop right now at the V8 Speed and Resto shop. One of them is a very, very sweet 73 455 car. It's red, white gut. And that one actually wasn't at the event, but its owner was. But the other one is a black 78, and it's done up like an SC. It's not really an original SC, but it's a 400 car. And the customer had it recently restored, and he wanted to bring it to us to do some drivability stuff to do better on the Bandit runs and the Snowman runs, you know, the road trips. So we were slated to do a fast, easy EFI 2.0 on it, and we put a 204R overdrive in it, and we changed the rear gear. And he said, you know, while you're in there, the oil pan gasket leaks, so do you mind dropping the pan and putting a gasket on it? And Trevor in our shop dropped the pan and called me over and said, you got to see this. And unfortunately, it was full of bearing shavings.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so we immediately tried to scurry to figure out what to do. And I thought, you know, your weigh the cost of rebuilding one versus finding a running one, you know. And they're hard to find. We even called Butler Performance, you know, one of the big Pontiac shops. And they're like, yeah, we got nothing.
Wow.
Well, they have, you know, aluminum block stuff and yeah, Indian Adventure stuff, and but nothing, you know, for a low compression street Pontiac motor. So we just got that block back yesterday from the machinist. So we're in the same boat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What a fine boat it is.
It'll all be good, though. So if your guy's working on that, you hope to maybe get to drive that thing again this summer, huh?
I hope so. That's my goal. That's my goal. So just focusing just on this engine, but when I lose sight of it for a minute, I think of all the, you know, 100 other little details that need to get done that I want to do, like, you know, like replacing the fuel lines and the brake lines, because I don't think they've ever been replaced, and the engine harness has been cobbled together, and you know, just want fresh wiring in there. That's pretty important. Yeah. And want to get the engine bay cleaned up and repainted and have at least looking decent. And, you know, this car is never going to be a show car. It's always going to try to – I always want it to be on the road running. But, you know, you want your car to look decent when it's doing it. You don't want it to look all clapped out even though it runs nice.
Right, right.
So that's got a lot more things to think about.
Yeah, so you're going to try and hit the underhood – well, I mean, you got to hit the safety stuff if it's a brake line thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, the brakes have never really been right. Even, it was originally a four-wheel drum brake car. And it's actually, even though it's power brakes now, originally it wasn't. It's kind of weird. It's factory AC, factory power steering, but factory manual drum brakes.
Wow.
Yeah, kind of weird. Somewhere along the line, somebody put a power booster on it to give it power drum brakes, and they still weren't great. Then I went and did a disc brake upgrade for the front, and it's still... You know, I replaced the master cylinder, the power booster, the lines that came in the kit, you know, all the spindles and the calipers and all that stuff. But it still just doesn't feel like a power brake car. So I'm still kind of fighting with that.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if it's a line diameter thing or what, but...
Well, you know, it could be well, did you do a whole kit with the new master and all that stuff?
Yeah, master, new power booster. Yeah. It came with a portioning valve that it put in.
Yeah. Yeah, I went through that on my 62 Ford. Heck, it was, I guess, 10, 12 years ago now. But same deal. It was, this one was a power drum car, and the booster went bad to the assist side. So you would get your foot near the brake pedal, and all four would just lock up. I mean, it was crazy. And, you know, drum brakes, you know, the current state of the world, everybody really kind of frowns upon drum brake technology. But in those bigger cars, when you look at it, the amount of surface area that's making contact on those two big shoes and a drum, you know, it's probably five or six times that of a disc rotor. But only for the first few stops, you know. once they heat up, it gets a little goofy. But this car, you know, was nuts. So I decided to do a disc brake swap on it, and I went through probably four power boosters and three different masters, and I couldn't get the wheels to lock up. You know, I just it never happened. And then finally, you know, everybody that knows me knows I'm a Hydro Boost evangelist, and I entered the Church of Hydro Boost. And I have not left ever since because it fixed everything.
Really?
Yeah.
Something to really think about.
Well, I know it's not a low buck alternative either because, you know, if you buy the kit from Hydrotech, those are all kind of handmade, hand pieced together, and they have a nice finish on them. You can do a junkyard swap out of a Mustang Cobra or something, or a GM truck or that kind of deal. Make those work too for a lot less cash, but. They work, tell you what, and if it's already a power steering car, you're halfway down the road.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I get it figured out. So yeah, I bet you the fine folks at VATV could probably help me out as well.
Yeah, they probably could. Do you know any?
I heard of one guy.
Yeah. Well, we certainly would love to have that car in the shop for a couple of days, you know, because we could probably accomplish quite a bit.
Yeah, I bet you could. It'd be a fun road trip.
Not to throw, you know, more details into your stack of 100, you know, but yeah. Now it's a brake upgrade too.
Yeah.
So is there any, you know, deadline kind of event or just kind of this year? Is there any cruise night you're trying to hit?
Just this year. I mean, I when this whole thing went down, I was trying to get it ready for the power tour and, you know, and I was thrashing. It was like 2 days before. And that's when I found out that I had a burn exhaust valve, and I knew I had to take the heads off. And I said, well, that pretty much dashes that. So as long as I can get it sometime before the snow flies again, I'll be pretty happy.
Yeah, power tour is a great motivator.
Yeah, it really is. That's a fun thing.
It is. It's a heck of a great deadline. Mm-hmm. And it makes people do silly things to prepare.
Yeah.
You know, that they normally wouldn't.
That's true. Yeah, it's half the fun.
Well, it is, and I truly believe that if there's no deadline, you know, then there's no deadline.
Right, and yeah, that's a good point.
I kind of imposed one on myself earlier this year when I made that trip to Chicago, which you were part of, to go hang out by Wrigley Field for a day with some buddies with the 70 Buick that I bought last year. And it was the same way. It's an all-original car, but it had a handful of stuff that needed to get done, and one thing leads to another, and I never anticipated doing an alternator and a radiator and, you know, but that car, I took the freaking belts off of it, and all the power steering and the alternator belt were both date-coded original stuff. Yeah, and the car's never even had belts on it.
Holy cow.
Yeah, and I put new ones on, of course they squeak.
Of course. Yeah. Why wouldn't they?
I got the old ones. I should throw them back on. They're fine.
Yeah. It was good for 40-something years. It should be good now.
Yeah, but those, you know, I had this deadline, and the trip for me is 325 or 350 miles each way. So it was going to be a 1,000-mile weekend, I'm thinking. And my neighbor, good friend of mine, my buddy Rick, came with me on the trip. And I thought, you know, it's one thing when you're on your own on the side of the road, you know, when something takes a dive. But when you bring somebody else along and they got to stay in there too, you know, that's more of an incentive to make sure everything's right.
Yeah, that'll test the friendship.
Yeah. So, did not huge thrashes, but, you know, a few late nights trying to get everything in order. And it was fun. Car did great. 15 miles to the gallon all the way up and back, which was pretty cool. Yeah, for a 70 Buick that weighs more than your GTO, you know, it's a 4,300-pound car. And then when I got back, I realized this car had been driven 540 miles a year since it was new, and I doubled that in a weekend.
Gee whiz.
That's what it's for.
Yeah. Now, what engine do you have in that Buick?
That's a 455.
455, and you still got 15 miles per gallon. Outstanding.
Yeah, it's a turbo 400 trans with a 307 rear end, I believe.
All right.
And the only thing I had to do maintenance-wise on that trip was pull a little timing out of it because it was pinging pretty hard with the various gas going up and down. It's a 10 1/4-to-1 motor, so it's, you know, iron head.
Yeah.
Not used to today's eco fuels.
Yeah.
But other than that, you know, I still have some dead mice I got to clean out of the heater box, which we noticed.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's a couple of green Christmas trees hanging in, you know, but other than that.
Yeah, that's got to smell nice.
Yeah. Especially when it gets warm out.
Yeah, oh, good God.
So that's cool. It's good to hear that the GTO is progressing a little bit.
Yeah, it's been sitting for a while. Gosh, it's going to be 2 years this year that I haven't been able to do anything with it. It's been making me nuts.
Now, I actually drove that car around the block, right? The one time when I came to visit. And then the only other time I saw it moving is when you brought it to Gateway in St. Louis for the power tour that one day.
That's right. Exactly.
And that was a pretty uneventful trip for you, right?
Yeah, it was. It was everything was cool. I mean, it had hard starting issues, but I think I traced that down to an ignition. It was either ignition switch or the neutral start switch was acting goofy, and I got that taken care of. And shortly after that, it started, you know, back turning to the carburetor a little bit more. But other than that, it was a pretty uneventful trip. I've been pretty lucky. My first, like a year before, 2 years before that, I took it on my first leg of the power tour out to Iowa Speedway.
Mm.
And drove it around the track a few times and drove it like it was a bloody race car, which was scared the hell out of my buddy Robert. My neighbor Robert was with me, and we're pretty close to the wall a few times, but it held together. That was nice.
The wall comes up kind of quick. You got to be careful.
It does.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. You've been, because you're just outside of Chicago, so you've been lucky to have that event basically come past your front door a couple times.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it did for us, too, last year. It actually came to our front door in Red Bud, Illinois. It was unbelievable.
Exactly. Yeah, I was watching that webcam you had set up with that. That was pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, there was a funny story with that webcast that people don't know. So the deal was, the Midwest is home to a lot of good drag race tracks. And for several years, the fine folks at Hot Rod had chosen a route for the drag week competition that hit racetracks like Joliet and Cordova and Gateway and Milan, Michigan and Memphis. So right in the heart of the Midwest. And our shop, the V8 Speed and Resto shop, is about 35 miles southeast of St. Louis in Illinois, in a little town called Red Bud, Illinois. Well, Red Bud's on a highway called Route 3, and it was a route chosen by the Drag Week crowd a couple years ago. So Drag Week came right down the street and was going from Gateway to Memphis. And the organizers had noted that the route was pretty cool. It was a good drive. It was small town America. You know, it's kind of a neat deal.
Yeah.
So one day, I still know a bunch of people that work over there from my previous life of being at Hot Rod. They called me and they said, "Hey, we're driving past your shop right now, but we can't talk and we can't tell you why." And I'm like, "All right." Well, I put two and two together and realized that they were plotting the route for Power Tour for 2015. When they made it official, we did everything we could to make the town aware, because I know, I think all told, I think I did 12 or 13 power tours when I was working there, and a couple of them, you know, before I started working there. And the thing that was always a challenge was we'd pull into these small towns that didn't know that there was 5,000 cars coming, and none of the facilities were open, and the gas station only had one person working, you know, and all that jazz. So we tried to work with the little town of Red Bud to make sure to let them know what they were in for. And they did. Everybody came out and helped out, and it was a great day. The VFW guys laid out flags from one end of the town to the other. It was really picturesque and very cool.
Outstanding.
It was neat, yeah. And one of the things that we did was open up our garage bays at the speed shop for anybody that needed a hand, because over the years, my car had broken in every state of the union practically on the power tour, and people helped us from everywhere, so it was our chance to pay it back. But the point of this whole story was that I wanted to try and share this experience, so we rigged up a wireless webcam out in front of the shop, you know, to let people dial in, and we had people watching, you know, all over the world, checking this thing out, and then the signal would drop, and I'd get a text from somebody, you know, in a different country, saying, "Hey, you know, numbnuts, the signal went dead." So I'd go back and jiggle things around and restart it and everything, and scratch my head and climb up the ladder. The ladder, it's a 20-foot ladder to get up there. You know, here's me up at the top fixing this camera. And by the end of the day, you know, the signal dropped a whole bunch of times, and I was really getting sick of it. Well, it comes to find out that my mother-in-law was part of the food crew, because we had roast beef sandwiches and stuff, you know. And she kept putting this dish that was wrapped in aluminum foil in front of the router antenna in the office. And every time she put it down, it would knock the signal off.
Oh, wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was. So I apologize to anybody who tried to watch that day, you know, because we had people that were like at work and they're all excited about it and everything, and then it would puke. So I kept going to the office and I'd move this thing. I didn't even make the connection, you know, and it kept coming back and coming back. And then finally, at the end of the day, I made the correlation. I was like, "You've got to be kidding me."
Good Lord.
Yeah, it was fun.
Miracle.
Just one of them things.
Yeah.
And we've thought about doing more of those live streams from the shop, but they get kind of risky, you know, because first of all, you got to have something to watch. You know, if you got some people are like, "Hey, just put a camera on the wall of the shop," you know, and it's like, well, I don't know how exciting the same angle of watching somebody bleed brakes or something, you know, it just doesn't seem like that much fun. So then, you know, the opposite is, well, maybe when you fire off a new motor, you know, you can get the camera going and broadcast that. But what if it doesn't go smoothly?
You know? Yeah, there's that.
Yes.
Live television, baby.
That's it, you know, and I've always enjoyed live radio, but live TV, you know, especially you're working on somebody's car and they're watching and then it doesn't start. And, hey, what happened? You know. So I don't know. We might do those. We'll see.
Or something, and everyone, the whole world sees it.
Yeah, right. What's that big puddle in the smoke, you know?
Right. Yeah, that wouldn't be good.
Yeah, well, we'll see, though. If we can come up with something interesting, we certainly will.
Yeah, I'm sure you will.
Yeah, we'll try anyway. So any other fun things going on up there this spring, summer car related that you're going to go hit?
Well, my town, I live in Plainfield, Illinois, and Tuesday nights they have cruise nights up here, starting in Memorial Day weekend, though Tuesday after Memorial Day going through Labor Day. And I usually like to try to hit that after work and just hang out and see some pretty cool cars. And the whole downtown comes alive and it draws a great crowd. So that's a must see.
That's cool. Yeah. Yeah. I'm involved with a couple of local type shows, in basically 1 month on June 5th is our local, Optimist Club car show, which the Optimist Club is a youth fundraising organization where I've been in it for, I don't know, 4 years now. And we do, scholarship funds for academic and vocational. We give vocational scholarships and got a lot of different youth programs. And one of the fundraisers is a car show. And when I joined the club, you know, the whole room turned and kind of pointed at me and said, "Guess what you get to do?" So it's been fun. We my mission on that whole deal, you know, I'm a car guy and there's a lot of car shows I don't like because you know, Gray Baskerville always had the story. He said, "You know, what are you going to do? Set up a lawn chair and get, you know, dropped on by birds all day while you sit next to your car and stare at it." And sometimes that's the case, you know. So what we try to do is involve the family more. So we have we built a 25-foot-long Hot Wheels track, and we went out and bought 200 or 300 Hot Wheels cars, and we let the kids race for free all day if they want, you know. And Yeah, we've got a coloring contest this year where it's actually kind of cool. Some big names in the automotive design world donated some sketches that, you know, a bunch of kids will be coloring in. So that'll be pretty fun.
Very cool.
Yeah, just something to do because, you know, dad could have a nice day polishing his car, but mom and the kids are standing there in misery sometimes.
Yeah, you know what? That's exactly true. I mean, I'm in our local GTO club out here, and they have an annual show, and that's about the only show I can get my family to go to. Otherwise, it's torture for them because, you know, I could stay there all day at a car show.
Yeah, right. Talk to people
and just be happier than anything. And, you know, my wife and my kids are like, oh my gosh, can we please go? You've seen this car already.
Right.
I know, but I want to see it again.
Right. And it's 2,000 degrees on black pavement.
Yeah. Exactly. But this one they go to, they actually have a little bit of fun stuff for the kids to do too. They like face painting and they'll even bring, they've had a baby tiger there in years past that the kids get the pictures with.
Oh yeah, because that's the Cruising Tigers GTO Club. Is that right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So they actually brought a real tiger out.
Yeah, they bring a real baby tiger out.
Wow.
And it's just a little kitten. It can't be more than a couple months old. And
what is Siegfried and Roy in the club or something? Where do you get a kitten for a car show?
I don't know how they do it, but they do it. But they also get Tommy Blackhawk was there, and the White Sox mascot was there.
Mm, cool.
Yeah, and there's a canine, like a copper that runs his bloodhound unit. He brings a bloodhound out there, and the kids like to pet it, and so it keeps him a little occupied, and you know, it takes away from just looking at cars all day.
Right. So. Waiting for somebody to open the hood on a Ram Air 5.
Yeah. I got lucky enough. I got to see one of those actually twice.
Really?
At this show. Yeah. Guy had it in a 69, it's like a 66 Catalina or Bonneville or something. The big car.
A big car. Really?
Yeah, it was original. It was the real deal, Ram Air 5, and I actually saw another guy had, I think it was a 70 Trans Am. He had an all aluminum Ram Air 5.
Wow,
that was in it.
That's insane. And,
yeah, it really was. I mean, there's like maybe one of 20 of those aluminum ones ever produced.
And that was one of the real ones, huh?
Yeah.
Holy cats.
Yeah. And what's neat about those is that there's two people that are currently they're making aftermarket Ram Air 5 heads now. So you can get a Ram Air 5 motor for, you know, a mere fraction of what it would cost you.
Right.
To source all the original stuff, which is kind of neat.
Well, I'd not be afraid to destroy the thing either.
Yeah, exactly. You rub the jeepers out of it and not be scared about it.
Yeah, it was interesting. We just got back a few weeks ago from shooting another season of Muscle Car of the Week from the Brothers Collection, and a sneak peek on a couple of the cars that will be featured coming up later this year. One of them is a GTO, a 69 GTO, that has options that I never knew A-bodies came with. It's a factory Ram Air 4 four-speed convertible, but it had things like power driver bucket seat. It had a reclining passenger bucket seat. You ever see a reclining seat in an A-body?
I've seen a reclining driver's seat, but never a reclining passenger seat.
Yeah, no, I'd never seen one either. And, of course, 8-track and weird stuff like the factory underhood light on the firewall and all kinds of things. And it had a reprint of the window sticker, which was like, you know, 15 miles long.
Right.
And one of the other cars was a 69 Buick GS 400 Stage 1 four-speed convertible that was loaded similarly. Not everything in the world on it, but it had, you know, quite a bit of stuff. And the options on the Pontiac, they weren't very expensive. You know, I think the seat was a couple hundred bucks. But other than that, you know, most of these were lower dollar options. And the Pontiac was a full $1,000 more than the Buick, mostly because of the Ram Air 4.
Oh, sure.
That was like $800, I think, for the for the Ram Air 4. And then the GS 400 Stage 1 engine was like less than $400.
Really?
Yeah, I couldn't believe the Pontiac was that much more than the Buick.
Go figure. That's crazy.
Yeah. But that'll be a neat episode. We're looking forward to that one. I'm sure you'll be able to check that out, or you will check it out when it comes available, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Looking forward to that one.
Yeah.
I look forward to all of them, but that one especially.
Well, we appreciate that. Kind of fun. Got a little a sneak peek that I can't really go into about one of the cars that's going to be at the McCacken show in 16 this year.
Oh, yeah.
It's from the collection, from the Brothers collection. It's a car we've not yet featured, and it's a race car with a very famous driver. And from what I've been told, both the car and the driver will be at the Muscle Car and Corvette Nats in November. So,
are you allowed to tell us what the make of the car is?
It's a Ford product, I can tell you that much. So it's not up your Pontiac alley there, but it's pretty darn cool. So if you're not on that mailing list for the McCacken show, I would go to mcacn.com and sign up, because they will probably release what it is at some point if they finalize this. This is fresh information from today. So
outstanding.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. You heard it here first, folks.
Yeah, that's right. You heard this and the aluminum foil on your router. Don't do that. All you heard today.
Breaking news.
Well, I think our next trip is next week. We'll be at Kelly and I will be out at the Mecum auction in Indianapolis. You ever been to that one?
I've been to the Mecum auction, in Chicago a couple times. In fact, I got to work that auction once with the Cruising Tigers. I was one of those dopes that was pushing the cars across the block.
Oh, no kidding. That's cool.
Yeah, it was fun.
You have the white gloves on?
At the end of the day, you're pretty damn tired, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. The white gloves and the sore back.
Yeah. What made it especially fun is when you had a race car going across a block that had a spooled rear end. And when they try to
turn it
a corner, the whole rear end would lock up because there's no differential action. So you had to really put both cheeks into it to get it going again.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, that Mecum auction experience is a blast.
Oh, yeah.
The first thing is that it's just such an amazing car show. You know, they're all for sale, but the stuff you see there is ridiculous.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, we went there with my wife actually last summer. We went out there when it was up in Schaumburg, Illinois. And it's just unbelievable. I mean, you have more fun walking around the parking lot where the cars are staged and getting ready to go than even on the inside. Because you can just take a real good look at them for as long as you want, pretty much. And just kind of, you know, you start wondering, gee, I wonder what this one's going to go for, and look at that one.
If you wear a nice, clean pair of pants, you know, they think you might be actually into buying the thing, so they'll show
it to
you.
Exactly. You know,
put some white shoes on, you know, you're there. Well, the other neat thing is you got to actually lay your hands on these cars at that auction and push them across.
Yeah. So. Oh, yeah, there was some neat stuff there.
What was the highest dollar car you've pushed?
Oh, gosh.
Do you remember?
I really don't. It was probably 4 or 5 years ago that I did that.
That could be an interesting bench race contest. Yeah, I pushed $1 million CUDA across their line one day.
Yeah, well, that would be nice. one car I do remember, there was a car that was on overhauling that was across the block.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it was a Mustang. Like a 71 Mustang, I think. Nice car. It actually had looked real good. It had nice build quality to it.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was a nice shape.
Yeah, well, I've been to Indy a couple of times. I've been to the Chicago one when it was still in St. Charles, probably 12 years ago, 10 years ago. But Indy is cool, too. It's over 2,000 cars. I mean, it's a big show.
Wow.
Yeah. And the last time I was in Indy, I think, was when one of the 69 Trans Ams was going up that Rob Lozen's owned. And I think he still got the car.
Yeah, he does. He tried to sell that just recently again.
Yes.
Didn't he?
Yeah, that one pops up every once in a while. And I haven't really been paying attention to what's on the docket, you know, for superhero cars that I want to go see. Like you, I just want to go check the whole thing out and hang out and, you know, walk around. The auction action is a lot of fun, but it's way out of my league. So, you know, my problem is, you know, I'll be down on the auction floor and I'll see somebody I know and I got to resist the urge to wave, you know, because I wound up buying something that I clearly can't afford.
Yeah, then you got to explain that to the missus.
Well, that's why I wear my dirty pants.
You know? Yeah.
All right, man. Well, listen, it was good to finally catch up, and been trying to get another VA radio episode up for quite a long time, and part of the challenge was technology. So yeah. I think we got this figured out.
Outstanding. Well, I appreciate you having me on. It was a great time. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, you know, as always, thanks for keeping up on the forum, and Mike's also the guy who was responsible for starting Cool Song Friday on our forum. But you've been as busy as a one-legged cat in a rocking chair contest or something. I don't know. What are they?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, yeah. With the new gig, right?
Yeah. I started a new job in January, and it's been some crazy hours. But hoping to get some level out a little bit and kind of remind myself to put something up on Fridays. And that's not just me that can do that. Anybody can post, and I encourage everyone to post.
Yeah, that's right. There you go. There's the super fan back in action.
Right, man.
Flying the flag. Well, you should get us some updated pictures of that GTO motor. We'd like to see it.
Okay, we'll do.
And we will be starting a whole thread on that 78 Trans Am bandit car with the motor story and all that stuff on the forum, as well as a whole bunch more. We've got 16 cars in the shop right now that we're trying to get going.
Yeah.
And new VA TV episodes are airing all over the place. We're shipping brand new shows every week for the next 21 weeks, 22 weeks.
Nice.
It's crazy. Yeah, there's just so much going on. It's insane. So.
You're a blessed man. You're blessed with work.
Yes, yes, I am. Yes. And believe me, I don't take that lightly. So.
Good.
All right, my man. Well, thanks for joining us. And we will see you on the boards.
Sounds good. Thanks again.
All right. Good luck on the GTO.